listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, we welcome you. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. It is our prayer and our desire that our Way of Truth broadcast be a blessing to our precious congregation. We pray to this end, for we know that we are facing eternity-bound souls, and it is our sincere desire to be true to each and to every one, and we desire that our broadcast be a blessing and a help to you. If you are a Christian, we want it to be a blessing and an encouragement to you to continue in the grace of God. And if you do not know the Lord, we would desire that our broadcast be used to help you to incline your heart to the Lord and become a servant of His. For to know Him is to know life.
Today throughout this land, cry for peace on every hand, seeking love and happiness that satisfies. They'll not find it on their own, that is not where they may roam. Only turning to the Lord brings happiness.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
Happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him till the end. It's a happy life,
it's a happy life,
walking with Him. Through the heartaches, tears, and pain, man is seeking earthly gain. In this world of sin, true riches can't be found. If we walk with Him each day, He will guide this toilsome way to a wealth of happiness and peace of mind.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end. It's a happy life.
It's a happy life.
Walking with Him.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end. It's a happy life.
It's a happy life,
walking with Him.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this gospel broadcast today, and we are thankful for each one in our congregation. We realize and we know everyone is precious in Your sight. We also know that Jesus died for them, and that it's not Your will that any should perish. So if there be unsaved in our congregation today, we pray that You'll use us, use this broadcast, to help precious souls to come to know Thee. Those that may be endeavoring to live for You, going through trials and tests, we pray that You'll lift them up. We pray that You'll encourage their heart. We pray that You'll strengthen them to fight the good fight of faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Too many miles behind me, too many trials are through, too many tears help me to remember that there's too much to gain
Our subject for today's broadcast, the danger of turning back, or the danger of looking back. Our text of scripture is taken out of Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, and these are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Turning back, or looking back, is a figure of turning around and returning to something of the past, specifically an old condition, sin, or way of life. And I ask the question, is such a thing possible? I heard that one man said, that to say that you lose your salvation if you sin is stupid. I'm afraid that that man doesn't realize that he was calling the Lord Jesus stupid. For Jesus, or the Lord, told Moses, He that sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book. And if you are blotted out of the book of God, you certainly are no longer living pleasing in His sight. In fact, we are told in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that at the judgment, if our name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, we will be cast into the lake of fire. So I'd like to give you some examples of turning back. Approximately 14 months after their deliverance from Egypt, the children of Israel would not believe Joshua and Caleb. Moses had sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land before they invaded it. And these 12 spies were gone for 40 days. And when they returned, only two of them gave a good report, Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 said, We are not able to take the land. There are walled cities there. There are giants. There are other reasons why that we will not be able. Caleb was strong in faith, and he said, We are well able. But the children of Israel chose to believe the 10 rather than Joshua and Caleb. And we're told in Numbers chapter 14, And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. So I would say that they looked back. They desired to be back in Egypt, back in bondage. How quickly they forgot about the hard taskmasters and cruel treatings that they had, and they would turn back. But we see them weeping, blaming Moses, blaming Aaron for their state. How often that is true. Whenever someone turns back, they blame somebody else for it rather than themselves. So they said, "Would God, we're back in Egypt, we had died there in Egypt, or here in the wilderness." And in fact, they did. All the able-bodied men above 20 did indeed die there in Egypt, for God caused them to stay there for 40 years until all those who doubted and questioned him died off. Now, another example of looking back. When Abraham left Haran and came down into the land of Canaan, his nephew Lot journeyed with him. Lot's father had passed on, and Lot and his family came with Abraham and his family into the land of Canaan. Both of them had herds, and they had servants looking after their herds. And those herdsmen quarreled among themselves. And Abraham said to Lot, "We be brethren, let's not have this problem. Here is the hill country, and here is the well-watered plains of the Jordan. You take whichever one you want, and I will take the other." And the scriptures tell us that Lot chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it wasn't very long until Sodom was living there in Sodom, and seemingly he was pretty well accepted, for he was one of the elders that was sitting in the gate, although the Bible says his soul was vexed with the filthy, evil, ungodly way that the Sodomites were living. It was not so vexed that he didn't move out, which he should have done. He stayed there. And then we read about the three men that visited Abraham on their way to Sodom. One of them, Abraham called Lord. And after Abraham had fed them, and they walked out away from Abraham's tent home, the one that Abraham called Lord told him what their mission was. And while they were talking, the other two journeyed on. And we see these two coming to the gate of Sodom late in the evening. And they were going to spend the night in the street, they told Lot. But Lot knew what the situation was there in Sodom. And he urged them, he persuaded them to come into his house. And they did. And Lot prepared them a meal before they retired for the night. But before they retired, they heard voices outside of Lot's house. And he opened the door and saw men there, old men, young men, standing there. And they said to Lot, "Bring those two men out here so we can know them." And I'm sure all the adults in my congregation today know what they meant by knowing them. But Lot endeavored to persuade them not to do such a wicked thing. But they were ready to break the door down. But the angels, and they were angels, that were in Lot's house, smote them with blindness. And they wearied themselves so weary until they finally left. And the angels told Lot what their mission was. And he said, "If you have any loved ones here in this city, you go warn them to get out, because God is going to destroy the city." And so Lot very carefully went out into the street, and he went to one of his daughters' home. He had two married daughters there. He went to one, he woke them, the son-in-law came to the door, and Lot told him, "God's going to destroy this place. You and your family must get out." But the son-in-law mocked him. He went back to his bed and he told his wife, your father-in-law gone crazy over religion. He said, "God's going to destroy this place." And Lot went on to the second daughter's house, and he found the same reception from that son-in-law as well. And he returned to his own home, downcast, dejected, sad, and his wife asked him about the situation, and he said, "Neither one of them would believe me. They refused to come and to go with us." It was getting on towards morning. The angels said to Lot, "We must get out of here." And they took them by the hand and led them out of their home. And on their way, the angel said to them, "You must not look back." And after they had got out of the city and traveled away, Mrs. Lot looked back. She disobeyed God. Now some say, well, you know, she had loved ones back there. She was concerned for them. No, I do not accept that. I believe her heart was still back there. But either way, she had no justification. She had no right disobeying God. So when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Now she looked back. She turned back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Yes, I believe that. I find it written in the Word of God, and I believe it actually happened. Now our text says, "He that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God." And those are the words of the Lord Jesus. So our text speaks of someone who has made a commitment to the Lord, and he has put his hand to the plow. In other words, he has started following the Lord. But Jesus said, if he looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. And if it was not possible for a person to turn back, Jesus would not have said this. There would have been no point in his saying it. Jesus knew that it was possible for a person to start in the Christian race and to look back, to turn back, to lose out with God. In John chapter 6, Jesus was telling the people about how they must eat that living bread that came down from heaven to have eternal life. And Jesus told them, "I am he, that living bread. I am the living bread that came down from heaven." And he said, "You must eat this flesh, or eat my flesh, and drink my blood, to have any lot or part with me." Of course, Jesus was not talking about his literal flesh or drinking his literal blood. The old covenant and the new covenant forbids people to even drink the blood of animals, let alone the blood of human beings. What Jesus was telling them was they must take him, they must take his word, and live it out in their lives to be his true disciples. And the people, some of them, many disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And we're told in John 6 and 56 that many went back and followed him no more. Yes, the Bible says they went back and followed him no more. They had been following him. They were disciples, but they went back and followed him no more. This means they went back on their covenant. They denounced their covenant and returned to the old life. Remember, turning back is a figure of turning around and returning to something of the past, specifically an old condition of sin or way of life. The Apostle Paul, in his letter, his first letter to Timothy, said in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And you have to be in the faith before you can leave the faith. I say you have to be in the faith before you can leave the faith. And it wasn't just Paul that said this. Paul only penned it. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. It is possible to be in the faith and to depart from the faith, and no less authority than the Holy Spirit of God said so. One of Paul's faithful co-workers looked back. Paul speaks of him in a very favorable way. But in 2 Timothy, we read in the 4th chapter and the 10th verse, where Paul says that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So Demas not only left Paul, he left Christ, and he left the ministry. Paul said so. Demas hath left me, and the reason he has left me is because he has loved this present world more. So he went back on his covenant. He forsook Paul, he forsook Christ, he forsook his ministry. Now the Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, second chapter, speaks about people going back, and he says, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and to the sow that was once washed has returned to her wallowing in the mire. Now, Peter was talking about those who had been followers of Christ. He was not talking about hypocrites. He was not talking about mere professors. He was talking about those who at one time had been followers of Christ. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Notice I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And let me read on. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I don't know how words could be more plain than these that the Apostle Peter has penned here. And he says it has happened. Regardless of how many preachers say it's impossible, Peter said it has happened unto them. It is a very serious thing to have once known the Lord and his blessings, then to turn away and go back into sin. But Peter said it has happened. What causes men and women to turn back? Of course, Satan will use anything and everything, and he will use anybody and everybody that he possibly can to get a follower of Christ to turn back. There are some emotional difficulties that may cause people to go back. Fear, discouragement, loss of motivation, resentment, lukewarmness, various things can cause a person to go back. Some people are afraid of what people will say about them or what people will think about them. Beloved, we need to be more fearful of what God thinks about us than what anybody in the world says or does. And discouragement does come to us all. But Satan would like to use discouragement to the point where we would turn back. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But if Satan can rob us of our joy, he is robbing us of our strength. And if that discouragement becomes great enough, it will cause people to give up. And the loss of motivation. Motivation is necessary in every area of life, and especially when it comes to living the Christian life. We must be motivated and overcome the opposition of Satan to be faithful and to be true to the Lord. Another thing, people can become resentful. Things happen. Yes, even among Christians, things can happen where people become resentful. And when that resentfulness becomes strong enough, you're going to lose your experience with the Lord. And lukewarmness. Jesus dictated to the Apostle John to write to a congregation, because you are lukewarm, he said, I'd have you hot or cold. I would have you either on fire for God or not professing at all. But because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now you have to be in Christ before you can be spewed out. And you have to have had an experience with God to become lukewarm. And Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. In other words, you'll backslide. And again, people may deny it, but this is what the Word of God teaches them. So it is possible for people to become lukewarm and to be spewed out of the mouth of God. Now, some specific situations that causes people to go back are evil associations. Yes, we need to be careful. And the book of Proverbs warns us against evil associations and worldly influences, shallowness in our experience, lack of applying oneself, lack of spiritual vision, lack of having that determination to press the battle on, becoming lukewarm, drifting. We should take heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. Lack of prayer and study of the Word, failure to attend the house of worship where the true gospel is preached. All these things can contribute to a person looking back. Now, there are sad results in those people looking back. Can one who has turned back be reclaimed? Yes, but many people are not, because they go deeper and deeper into sin. But don't let anyone tell you, because you have backslid, that you cannot get back to God, because you can. But there is great danger in turning back, for many who have never returned. The danger of turning back is being lost forever. And remember, when you arrive at the judgment bar of God, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Also remember, it is possible for your name to be blotted out, for God told Moses, "He that sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book." Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take these scriptures and thoughts and make them a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust the scriptures and the thoughts have been a blessing and a benefit to you. If so, we would be thankful that you'd let us know. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. You may listen to a number of our broadcasts on our webpage and other messages as well, and read our monthly magazine. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.
Be strong and valiant for the truth. Resist the tempted luring power. Shun all the avenues of sin. And trust in God each day and night. Be strong and firmly trust. And keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust.
Firmly trust
in God through everything.
Be true
and fearless stand.
And
with His grace and Nazareth be blessed. He is our rock, our power high, and to the meek he giveth grace. How chill he is to them that trust, the joy of those who seek his face. Be strong. Not, he says, whatever in their hearts will find, and make you lie in pastures green, in paths of pleasantness he'll guide. Be strong and firmly trust in God to every stand, and with his grace and strength be